Artaya jatasya yadushra jasya. Vartam sake kirtaya tirta kirte. Tasya prapanna kila lokapanam. Avastitana manushasane sve. Artaya jatasya yadusha jasya. Vartam sake kirtaya tirta kirte. Tasya prapanna kila lokapanam. Kirtam sake kirtaya tirta kirte. Tasya prapanna kila lokapanam. Avastita anum manushasane sve. Artaya yadushra jasya. Tirta kirte.
Ladies,
tasya prapanna kila lokapanam, avastitanam manushasane sve, artaya jatasya yadushva jasya. Vartam sake kirtaya tirta kirte. Asya prapanna kila lokapanam. Avastitanam manushasane sve. Vartam sake kirtaya tirta kirte. Sya prapanna kila lokapanam. Avastitanam manushasane sve. Vartam sake kirtaya tirta kirte. Tasya
his prapanna surrendered akila lokapanam. All rulers of the entire universe. Avastitanam situated in anushasane under the control of Sve, own self, artaya, for the interest of, jatasya, of the born, yadushu, in the family of the yadus, Ajasya, of the unborn. Vartam, topics. Sake, O my friend. Kirtaya, please narrate. Tirtha Kirte, of the Lord, whose glories are chanted in the places of pilgrimage. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O my friend, please, therefore, chant the glories of the Lord, who is meant to be glorified in the places of pilgrimage. He is unborn, and yet He appears by His causeless mercy upon the surrendered rulers of all parts of the universe. Only for their interest did He appear in the family of His unalloyed devotees, the Yadus. Purport. There are innumerable rulers all over the universe, in different varieties of planets. The sun god in the sun planet, the moon god in the moon planet, Indra in the heavenly planet, Vayu, Varuna, and those in the Brahmaloka planet, where Lord Brahma is living. All are obedient servants of the Lord. Whenever there is any trouble in the administration of the innumerable planets in different universes, the rulers pray for an appearance and the Lord appears. The Bhagavatam, first canto, third chapter, text 28, has already confirmed this in the following verse. Ete changsakala pungsa krishnastu bhagavan svayam indraris vakulam lokam mridayanti juge juge. In every millennium, whenever there is any trouble for the obedient rulers, the Lord appears. He also appears for the sake of His unalloyed devotees. The surrendered rulers and the pure devotees are always strictly under the control of the Lord, and they are never disobedient to the desires of the Lord. The Lord is therefore always attentive to them. The purpose of pilgrimages is to remember the Lord constantly, and therefore the Lord is known as Tirtha Kirti. The purpose of going to place of pilgrimage is to get the chance to glorify the Lord. Even today, although times have changed, there are still pilgrimage sites in India. For example, in Mathura and Vrindavan, where we had a chance to stay, people are awake from early in the morning at 4 a.m. up until night time and are constantly engaged some way or other in chanting the holy glories of the Lord. The beauty of such pilgrimage site is that automatically one remembers the holy glories of the Lord. His name, fame, quality, form, pastimes, and entourage are all identical to the Lord. And therefore, chanting the glories of the Lord invokes the personal presence of the Lord. Anytime or anywhere pure devotees meet and chant the glories of the Lord is present without any doubt. It is said by the Lord Himself that He always stays where His pure devotees chant His glories. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Questions by Vidura. Tasya prapanna kilalokapana mavastitana manusha sanesve artaya jatasya yadushvajasya. Vartang sake kirtaya tirtha kirte. O my friend, please therefore chant the glories of the Lord, who is meant to be glorified in the places of pilgrimage. He is unborn, and yet He appears by His causeless mercy upon the surrendered rulers of all parts of the universe. Only for their interest did He appear in the family of His unalloyed devotees, the Yadus. Om Ajnanatimarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kidamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripadamaham vande sri guru dinotaranam paramananda madhavam si chitanyeshwaram. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasundubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. So the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. Here, Vidura is asking questions to Uddhava, whom he met after or on his pilgrimage. He went on pilgrimage for 20 years. This is 20 years summed up here in a few verses. When he was getting the shaft at the palace of his older brother, he placed his bow on the doorway and he went for a long walk for 20 years. He visited all the holy pilgrimage sites all over the country. And why did he do that? In order to hear about the glories of the Lord. So he wanted to hear from all the saintly persons in these places of pilgrimage about Krishna, about Krishna's pastimes. And here, as he's encountering Uddhava, he's asking Uddhava pertinent questions. What is he asking him about? He's asking about what's going on with the Yadus, what's going on with all these great personalities. But there's something that's a little puzzling, because you remember the verse where it said that he actually found out about the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty? You remember that? He found out about the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty. He found out about the disappearance of all his near and dear and loved ones, and still he's asking, what about this one? What about that one? What about that one? What about the other one? And Srila Prabhupada in the purports writes that his question was psychological. Means he already knew that they had departed, but he needed to process. He needed to come to terms with it. And how did he do that? By remembering these personalities and by hearing about their glories. So the Lord appears time and time again. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijami aham. Why? Pritranaya sadhunam vinasha chaduskritam dharmasam stapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So time and time again, he appears to establish the principles of dharma, to annihilate the demons, but first and foremost to protect and solace his devotees. So here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada focuses on this aspect, and he says that the rulers of the planets, the rulers of the universe, whenever they're in trouble, what do they do? Do they count their cash like people do nowadays? What do you do when you get in anxiety? You see how much money is still in the account, right? You call some friends, call mom. Like somebody said, when Hiranyakashipu was being killed by Narasingadev, what did he say? He screamed, "Mommy, mommy, mommy." It's stated by the acharyas. So, no, they go and they take shelter of the Lord. And the Lord appears to solace them and to straighten things out. So that is the kind nature of the Lord. And so places of pilgrimage are places where the devotees congregate to hear and chant about the Lord, to glorify his pastimes. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridavrata namashyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. So the devotees are taking great joy and pleasure. Tushyanti charamanticha, they're churning, they're continuously engaging in that remembrance of the Lord. And in that remembrance, there is no separation. The Lord is fully present. He manifests himself in their presence. So therefore, Vidura went on pilgrimage. Not because he felt that, oh, you know, I got some time on my hands, so I might as well go for a little travel here, you know, go for a little trip. No, his sole purpose was to get closer to the Lord. How to get closer to the Lord? By associating with those who are dear to the Lord. Because even though we understand Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Riddhesher Junatishtati Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudani Maya, the Lord is in the heart of all living entities. But when you associate with a devotee of the Lord, you don't just associate with Paramatma. They're actually carrying their Ishtadev. They're carrying whoever their worshipful Lord is in their heart. So we get to associate with that Ishtadev, with that worshipful Lord who is in the heart of the pure devotee. And that is why we go on pilgrimage, to meet such kind of personalities who are always absorbed in Krishna's pastimes. And then we can also remember the Lord's pastimes, and we can share that remembrance with others. And that experience is not diminished. Sometimes we think that all the good things already happened in the past. Do you ever think like that? Old is gold, nostalgia is great, and now it's all downhill. We're just racing to the end of oblivion. But if we actually pause and contemplate about the nature of Guru Parampara and how Shukamukhat Dravyasamyutam Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhur Muho Bhuvi Bhavuka, that the more devotees actually taste this Bhagavat Katha, it gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. That doesn't mean it wasn't sweet before, but it doesn't mean that it gets less sweet. Actually, it gets better because they all share their realizations. They all put in their flavor. Why do people like honey? Anybody likes honey here? Panchamrit? Huh? Anybody up for that? Why do you like honey? It's not just sweet, it's the quintessence of all sweetness. It's got all the nectar of all the different flowers and plants, of everything. All the rasas are in there. So it's nectar. In a similar way, we love to hear the realization of the newest person who walks in the door. Why? Because they have met already so many devotees and they have had so many experiences and they got so much. And it is very relishable to hear their realization. Yesterday, as I walked out of here from the Sunday feast talk, I just got in the van with Ananda Kirtan Prabhu, who mercifully took me down to Santa Monica Promenade. And we were chanting Hare Krishna and meeting some people. And I met a young couple, and the lady, she was a geologist. She was a scientist. And I was already like, oh, bones and stones, right? This is going to be a tough one. You know how when you meet people who are like from the sciences background, you're already like, okay, all right. It's all right. Let's keep walking, right? But she said, I have been to that Bhagavad Gita museum. And I saw your whole thing. And I really want to support you guys spreading this message. So she just ripped out her plastic and said, where can I donate? And I was like, hello, you know, like, is this happening? Or? And it is all happening because the devotees are chanting Hare Krishna. Because when the devotees are chanting Hare Krishna, it just changes the atmosphere. It just changes the entire demographic. You're not anymore there in, you know, a little mall with so many stores that are selling pretty much meaningless things. But it changes it into a holy place, into a tirtha, a place where the devotees are hearing and chanting about Krishna and remembering his glories. A few days ago, I was in Santa Cruz, the home of the homeless vegan. And I met one man on the farmer's market who, when I showed him the book, he just, his face lit up. He just was all joy. And he said, I met that man. I said, are you sure? He said, yeah. 1975 at the airport in San Francisco. I didn't take to it, but I just met him. A friend took me to the reception when Prabhupada arrived. And that had so much impact on his life that he was still glowing. He was still glowing. Almost 50 years after that. Speaking of glowing, I was distributing books at UC Berkeley, just where Telegraph meets the campus. And one Muslim student, he he stopped and said, "You talked to me yesterday already, and I refused you. But I'm curious because I have to tell you, you are glowing. You are effulgent. I want what you have. What is it that you have?" I say it's the same thing that's there in your tradition, but you know, I'm happy to share this with you. And he took two books and he was very happy. So this is the potency of Parampara. Prabhupada could have called it the Prabhupada movement or the whatever. Like so many gurus came and mostly they named their thing after themselves. But if it's about you, then it will die with you. So Prabhupada gave us a process. What is that process? It's the process of Krishna consciousness. It's about Guru Parampara. And that process is what we're experiencing here. And that's why Vidura is very happy to hear the nectar of all the devotees. And he is asking Uddhava about Krishna, because Uddhava is a very confidential, a very close associate, a very dear associate of Krishna. And what does Uddhava do? Eventually he sends him to Maitreya, right? He says, okay, I got some mercy from Krishna, but for you it is appropriate to hear from Maitreya. So, which is a very important point. Even though we may have knowledge, we may have experience, we may have realization, but we also have to be aware of what is the situation here. And he was deferring to Maitreya because of his seniority and also because of the seniority of Vidura. And so we're getting all these wonderful realizations because Prabhupada stayed up all night. Every night he stayed up to translate six pages. And that is a incomprehensible task. I mean, when we lose a night's sleep or a couple of hours, we kind of, you know how you get when you lose some sleep? But Prabhupada was so fixed, he was so focused on his mission to give us the Bhagavatam that he took the best time out, the most valuable, the most focused time to give us these Bhaktivedanta purports. So the more we study these purports and we discuss them and we apply them in our lives and we share them with others, the more we will also be able to understand the plan of the Lord and to be empowered, because that's where empowerment comes from, when we cooperate with the plan of the Lord and we agree to become an instrument of Krishna's plan. And then we will experience the magic, the miracles of Krishna consciousness. Do you want to experience the magic? Who likes to experience the magic? Or is it all been done and said and it's all flat now? We're just clocking time till time clocks us. No, we want to experience the magic. I was out in northern Michigan in Sheboygan. How many of you have heard of Sheboygan? It's near Mackinac Bridge. Pretty cold up there now. Yeah, pretty windy. And I met a man with his teenage son and I walked up to him and he saw the stack of books and he said, "Prabhupada is my favorite author." And his kid looked at him and said, "Dad, what are you talking about? Who is your favorite author? You never talk." He had a little explaining to do with his son, you know. And he took whatever new books I had and I gave him beads and the movie and this and that. So it was worth it driving all the way up there just to meet that one fellow. Huh? Met another lady in Ann Arbor where the University of Michigan, the great school is. And a middle-aged lady, we were actually met on the cross where you cross the road? Not a bridge. It was just these white lines. Crosswalk. Thank you. They named this different in different places. The crosswalk. Right in the middle. And I talked to her. And we had a little discussion. And she said, "I'm from El Salvador. And when I grew up, things were not too great. It was pretty rough. So I decided that I have to give my life to God. And I just raised my arms in the air and I said, 'God, please take charge of my life.' And the Bhagavad Gita gave me strength and guidance. And now she is in Michigan, Ann Arbor, and she got 4 kids. So she took some more books. And then I asked her, so what are you going to do right now? She says, right now, I'm going to walk over to Crosswalk, and I'm going to go sit down with those people there and chant Hare Krishna. And I said, that's a good idea. It's a good plan. So she did that. And after an hour, she came back to pick up her daughter, who was at the hairdresser place to get her hair done. And she came up to me and she gave me another donation. And she said, I'd like to have some more of those beads for my daughter also, because I would like to share this with her. So the more we are engaged in this tushvanticha ramanticha, in this not just tasting, but sharing our time, our realization, our heart with others, the more people will actually naturally be inquisitive, and they naturally want to take up whatever it is that we got to offer to them. So, as I mentioned yesterday in my little talk here, of course, most of you were not here, so I'm just going to mention it again. I've been coming here to New Dwarka for over 3 decades, and I was in different states of consciousness at different parts of my journey, of my development. And I'm very grateful for all of you to be here and to keep this tushyanticha ramanticha, to keep this churning, this tirtikurvanti tirtani, to keep this going, to keep this transcendental sound vibration going, and to share your realizations and this opportunity of Krishna consciousness with me and the world. I'm very grateful for that. So we're remembering Sura Prabhu, who used to sit right over there. And for me, he had a very clear sense of north. He had a very clear sense of directions in what was artha, what was valuable, and what was anartha, what was to be discarded or not valuable. I had many interactions with him. We did not always agree on all the issues, especially on numbers. But because I got a very clear feeling that he had a clear sense of north, he had a very, very strong faith in Srila Prabhupada and in Srila Prabhupada's mood and mission, I always felt very safe, always felt very protected in his association, because he was sober. And that's valuable, because nowadays people get intoxicated by all kinds of ideas and all kinds of things. But to me, Sura was always a very sober, a very solid example of what it means to be a Prabhupada man, what it means to follow Prabhupada's instructions. So I'm very thankful to him. And I'm sure you heard these before, but I like it. This Krishna, 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 help! That even though he was a tough guy, he had that really soft and vulnerable side in him, and where you could see how he was really crying out for Krishna. And he was really taking shelter of Krishna. And thus, this is really attractive when a person is strong and tough, but at the same time, very sensitive and very dependent on the Lord. So it's really attractive. So these are some reflections. We have time for comments or questions. Bhrigupati Prabhu.
since the beginning. Recently, though, there's another style of book distribution that seemed to, I don't want to say creep in there, or just been introduced, where people get donations, or, you know, temples get donations, the book's already paid for, and then devotees just go out and kind of pass out the books. It seems to me that when you do it like that, you're not going to have the kind of interactions that you were describing in your class. And I really don't know. I don't want to say, I don't want to criticize one or not. I just want to hear your thoughts on, is it, are they both equally as good? Is one better than the other? Is one what Prabhupada wanted and the other not so much what Prabhupada wanted? Or what's your take on the whole thing?
There is a wide variety of book distribution. So depending on who we are and in which situation we're in, we will gravitate. Back then, there was no choice. There was that's what it is. Take the book and run with it. So now we have seemingly endless options and opportunities, and that can be a little distracting, sometimes maybe even a little confusing. So as you have mentioned, there's different tastes that come out of different types of engagements. So if we want people to really experience the highest taste, where you see that miracle, a person really changing in front of your eyes, then it's a yagya, it's a sacrifice. You have to go out on a limb. You have to face rejection. You have to face all that. I mean, you know better than I. So if you're not ready to do that, then you will get another type of taste, which, okay, I'm doing the good work, you know, I contributed or I'm putting out the message, but you will not be there to see that person change right in front of you. Initially, the person may also be having questions, having doubts, having confusion, and you have to deal with that. And Krishna is using you as an instrument to deal with that. And that is a real special experience, to be an instrument in the Lord's hand. That's why we glorify Vidura, because he was an instrument in the Lord's hand. I mean, he was instrumental to liberating his brother and a whole bunch of people, you know, Narad Muni. But they're out on a limb. They're facing the heat. But if you're not ready to do that, then there is other ways to practice. That's also there. It's also possible. Of course, we like people to experience this highest taste and encourage them. How? Mostly by giving them the opportunity, by giving them the example and the encouragement and the training that they need to actually try it out. So that is required. Because nowadays, because there seems to be seemingly endless options and varieties, normally people tend to look for the easy way, right? Or whatever is convenient, whatever is non-confrontational, so to speak. But the impact will be less. The impact on the public and the impact on us. Yes, you can rain books from the airplanes. It's possible. One devotee's uncle is the chief of police of Boise, Idaho. And after the Idaho State Fair in Boise, he said the biggest problem actually there is they have to clean up thousands and thousands of books of Mormon and other religious literatures that are given out for free in mass quantities and that people just discard. So it poses a problem. So the more we actually use our intelligence, how we can make sure that the person who gets this is also going to keep it, is at least going to look at it, is... Otherwise, why not invest some of our resources into emerging markets? I was recently in Rome a few years back before going to West Africa to get my visas. I went to Nigeria, Togo, Benin, Ghana, and Ivory Coast. So I was in Rome. I was walking around Rome, and out of 10 priests, you have 3 blacks, 3 Latinos, 3 Asians, and 1 white guy. So that was the demographic. So what are we doing? We can just see what other groups are doing. They're taking the resources where there is resources, and they're investing it in emerging markets in areas where people are showing great receptivity, great interest. That doesn't mean that you neglect your home turf, that you neglect your home front, but there is a balance. It's not just, okay, we got so much resources, so now we have to spend and use all of that right here. So there are many people involved in this great enterprise, the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I'm confident that the strategizing and the Tushyanticha Ramanticha, the open, threadbare, open-hearted discussion is taking place on these issues, and that we can help regions that are having great potential but have been, for whatever reason, a little bit neglected to come back to full glory. So I think that would be a very worthwhile thing to do. And I very much appreciate and encourage all the artistic talent that is available in our ISKCON society, of people who are thinking of ways and means to share the message. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the book comes first, sometimes the personal contact comes first, and then the book comes after. There's a variety of ways how it can plan out. But for us, what's important is that this Tushyanticha Ramanticha, this Krishna Katha, this hearing and chanting and glorification of Krishna is at the core, is at the center of the activity. It's not about self-promotion or about, you know, giving them something different, but we cannot alter the message. But we can present it in different ways. That means also product development, means innovation. How many Krishna conscious movies and video games do we have? You have to think pretty hard, right? Yeah, you know a few, right? But so there is room. There is room because it's a big mission. And of course, there's a spearhead, the front edge of the arrow, and then there is. But if there's no shaft, your tip doesn't have that much thrust, doesn't have that much impact. That's why we need everybody. We need a community. We need a society. Otherwise, people will say, "Yeah, your book looks great, but what do you guys got to show for yourself? You know, have you implemented this? This is your roadmap. This is your blueprint. So where is your model that I can go and study? Where are these people?" So that's why, as much as it is important that we put the message out there, so it's important that we live the message and we create communities. And that means, I mean, you know better than I. Well, look around, you know, it means families, it means schools, it means elders, it means, you know, the whole thing. Which a lot of it is seemingly just a whole lot of work and expense and trouble. Just a whole lot of headache. But if you don't have that, then your frontline thing won't really have that much lasting impact. So just to put some balance to it. We got Archita, Suvas Prabhu, Sachitanoy.
Hare Krishna, Navina Prabhu. Thank you for class. Regarding Brigapati's question, obviously the first thing we should reflect on is what does Prabhupada say about that question? Because he was asked that question. Back in the early days, some devotees were already taking donations and giving the books out for free. And that went to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, yes, you can do that. If the books are paid for, you can give them out for free. Prabhupada said that. Not that that should become our main way of distribution, but Prabhupada sanctioned that. That you can take donations to cover the cost of the book, and then you can give them for free. So that was there.
Thank you.
And then the other thing I wanted to just mention briefly, thank you for bringing up Harinam, because sometimes, especially in big communities like that, it can take a back seat. We try to keep it alive. But Harinam is so nice, because on that, when you go out on Harinam, you can do all things. You can distribute books. You can obviously give the holy name, and you can give prasadam. Sometimes when you're out distributing books in Western dress especially, you can't give out prasadam or, you know, sit down and chant Hare Krishna. So the Harinam is a good training ground for everybody. We have a community here, so many grihasthas. They don't all both have to stay back to take care of one child or two children. The husband can stay back and the wife can go out or vice versa. So I just want to just throw that in to encourage. You know, we've been trying to keep it alive here and now even expanding thanks to some devotees who want to go out every day. But the opportunity is there for everyone. Not just that a handful should go out on Friday and a handful go out every day. Everybody can take advantage of it. We were forced to go out and in the long run we relished it. Because it forces you to identify with the Krishna consciousness movement. If you stay home all the time, even if you wear sari and dhoti at home all the time, you don't really identify as a devotee until you go out in the public and face them wearing tilak and full devotional clothes. And then you see what they think of you. They'll be happy to tell you what they think of you. Some of them raise their arms and start chanting immediately, start dancing. And others literally will knock you over. So, you know, you get a feel of the community around you, what they think about you. Now, in New York in the early days, they used to say nasty things to us. Get out of here, you freak, and you know, like that. But you had to surrender. It forced you to surrender to Krishna consciousness. You can't just be a Sunday afternoon Hare Krishna. You have to be like full on to face that kind of adversity. So I just want to close by encouraging all the grihasthas, everybody in this community, try to take the time to go out on Harinam at least once a week. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Archita Prabhu. Yeah, I personally started out on Harinam, distributing first invitation cards and then halava and then, you know, get into books. So, and I also like to see that you go to different places because it's not just one spot forever, for the rest of eternity, you know, in front of Victoria's Secret, because we've been there for the last 50 years, so we need to go there. There are other places, there are other options, and we should use our intelligence to see where do we get more response and where people like to interact with us or where they just try to get rid of us. I was on a big U.S. tour, and in two places, I'm not going to mention places or names, in one place, we chanted for the buildings. And in another place, we chanted for the cars that were driving by. And the devotees were fully convinced that we're doing the right thing. We're in the right spot. And there was nobody who could talk them out of it. It was a little, you know, left me a little wondering. So thanks for being conscious on these points. Yes, Vas.
Yeah, thank you for a wonderful class. On that principle, I think that one thing is that the dynamics of ISKCON has changed considerably in what you would call a temple.
Yeah.
You know, you can go to a lot of temples and you don't have like a lot of brahmacharis and brahmacharinis. And in the past, that's how somebody was engaged. Otherwise, there was not so many things to do in a temple. You know, you can only wash so many pots and clean so many floors. So the first thing you did is go on Harinam, and then you learned how to distribute a Back to Godhead magazine and eventually become a book distributor. So that was the technique. Today, that doesn't exist so much.
Yeah.
Usually the temples that we see, even in America, there is no ashram. There's usually just householders, and they have a temple, and they have pujari, and they have people taking care of the temple. But it's very rare to find, you know, what we would say like a thriving ashram in a temple. And I think that because of that, it's very difficult to do a lot of book distribution. And we see that it can work both ways, because there are devotees that really want to distribute books for their own purification. They're going out, you know, to please Srila Prabhupada, but they're also going out for their own personal purification and being able to exhibit their personal feeling about book distribution and the importance of it. So, you know, it seems to me, as a BBT trustee, we need both.
Absolutely.
We definitely need both. And
thank you.
You know, and it works, you know, and wherever you are and whatever you're doing, it actually works. And Prabhupada has made comments and written letters, and one comment that I'm just thinking, I can't remember it exactly, but Prabhupada said that, you know, the communists, they actually would just drop leaflets from the airplane, like anything.
Yeah.
And people would pick up that particular leaflet, and they would read them. And from that, communism took hold, especially like in India, in Bengal. So no one was really distributing. They were just falling from the sky. So in the same context, maybe that mass distribution works in the same principle, you know, on the fact that if their books are really going out everywhere, there will be people that will come in contact with them. They will read these books, and some people should become very Krishna conscious. So,
more better.
More the better.
Thank you, Sachitanoy Prabhu. Yeah, I'm convinced it's going to happen. Just one point of caution. From a marketing point of view, don't give out your free stuff at the same place where you're selling it, because it's a little counterproductive or a little confusing for the public. So if we can somehow, you know, do it in different places. So otherwise they're like, you know, this guy gave me the thing for free and you're charging me for it. Like, I had that in India a lot of times when they had the marathon and they had different prices for the books, because you have different temples in the same city and they have different kinds of subsidies. So one sells it for 100, another for 150, another for 180. And people go around, you know, on the same overpass in the railway station, and they have three different prices for the same book. So they go like, you know, who is... So there has to be a little thought put into where do we do the free distribution or the subsidized, and where do we charge, just to make it more productive. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. One principle is that we, from the Nectar of Devotion, yena tena prakarena.
Mm.
Whichever way we do things in relation to Krishna, ultimately it has the benefit. The benefits will be there.
Mm.
And you mentioned something that we have to become instruments. As Lord Krishna told Arjuna, instruments in his service. So I was appreciating yesterday when we were in Harinam. I was watching you a few times. And just as the conditioned souls are so determined, no matter what you will say, no matter how good you could be in your presentation or whatever yoga you want to say, they are so determined to, no, I don't want it, I'm not interested. But as much as they were in that determination, you were also so determined to just keep going. And I was appreciating that. I was saying, this is the sign of a devotee who has become mature, expert, and is not wavering his thinking. He just like has ekaha, one pointed vision to keep distributing books, being an instrument. And it was an inspiration for me. And that reminds me also that what you were mentioning, that one technique that we usually have in the beginning, all of us, it did help me a lot of person-to-person interactions, because of you had the opportunity to practice all those qualities that a devotee is supposed to have, like tolerance, you know, patience, control of the senses, and compassion. I don't see that I have the same amount as when I have the table of varieties of interactions, because they all come and it's an easy thing in one sense. But the other one, I thought, wow, this is really good, because it really is helping me a lot. It helps the devotees when you go for the first time to actually get out of the bodily concept of life, the false ego, and definitely. So at the same time, there are many people also who don't like, many people don't like that kind of approach. We understand that. And now in the table we have a different reception, a different interactions too. But it has to be there. It's difficult to point out, no, we should just do this, because it's impossible. We never know how this is going to work out, like in Harinam. Sometimes we put a lot of emphasis in book distribution, like preaching this way. But I see that in Harinam, a lot of times, by the chanting of the holy name, many, many people, sometimes they even, people, I've seen devotees offer books to them. No, I don't want the books. But they are captivated by the chanting, and it's an effect. So that aspect is good. The devotee who's distributing person to person, the one who has a table, the one who's preaching in the college and giving big presentation. So all together has an ultimate good benefit.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for sharing your realizations with us. I was just an instrument of your chanting, okay? So, and it's really wonderful to see, because when you have the devotees, you know, they got your back. So you can be very confident and very bold out there, because it's not me doing this. It's we. With me, we, I mean, not just the Harinam group, but Guru Parampara. So it's we are sharing this with that person, instead of it's you against the rest of the galaxy. And variety is the mother of enjoyment. So let us do all the different types of preaching and outreach and book distribution, and let people gravitate towards, you know, but it's good if they get trained and exposed to different styles so they can actually experience that, and that real dependence, that real purification and surrender that made us who we are. Personally speaking, I again like to thank all of you, especially my seniors here, who not just tolerated me, but who believed in me and have given me the time, the space to grow, to make my own mistakes, and to become an instrument in the mission of Srila Prabhupada. So thank you for that. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Get off.
Keep preaching.